the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's Boundless Show. I'm your host Lisa Anderson, here in the studio with three new ladies to the show. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
I love how I just introduce you like anonymously, and then, you know, it's just kind of these voices shouting out. So we have got three girls from our institute, our leadership institute here at Focus on the Family, Sarah, Heather, and Lisa. Let's just go around and introduce yourselves quickly. Just say where you're from, maybe what school you go to, and what brought you to the institute. So Sarah, how about if we start with you?
I'm from Florida, from Central Florida. And I attend Palm Beach Atlantic University down in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I kind of got into the institute. I was raised on a lot of focus materials, but a friend of mine came 2 years ago. And so she's the one that really encouraged me to go. So
awesome. All right, Heather.
I'm from Central Illinois, pumpkin capital of the world, Ben Morton. And I don't know, I go to Illinois Central College, graduated from there, and I've always known about focus, grew up on Adventures in Odyssey, all of that stuff, listened to the Dr. Dobson's broadcasts, and I don't know. So they had the institute, and I was like, hey, why not? Mm-hmm. Something else.
Natural transition there.
There you go.
Yep. Awesome. And Lisa, with an awesome name.
Thank you. I am from California in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I've been attending Biola University down in L.A. It's a Christian university, and I've been studying Christian ministry, so just heard about the institute and just was right along with what I was studying, and just knew right away that it's something I wanted to do, and just been really thankful to be here.
That's cool. And Biola stands for?
The Bible Institute of Los Angeles.
Yeah. I have asked some Biola students that, and they did not know.
Really?
That's concerning. Yeah. If you could bring that back.
I wonder if they know the other nickname, though, the Bridal Institute of Los Angeles. It's the infamous other
standing. How's that working for people?
It's a hit or miss. Some marry and then some don't, but
okay.
it's still a pretty good stereotype.
Okay, that's good. I had that too because I went to Trinity and we have a seminary attached. So it was kind of the seminary guys would kind of come trolling on the college mm-hmm. campus to look for wives and stuff, especially those who played the piano. I'm just going to be honest. And I didn't. So I was bypassed, whatever. It's okay. I'm not bitter. anywho, well, we're going to talk with you guys today and we thought it would be fun. I got to meet at least two of you at Candace Waters. Mm-hmm. Candace actually did a tea for some women here about a month and a half ago that was really cool. And she talked about some of her new thoughts on relationships. Believe it or not, she has some new thoughts on relationships, which is great. Poor thing. She always, you know, everyone just says, all you say is marry or die, marry or die. And bless her heart. She had to, you know, counter that. So she's really been coming up with some new encouragements for women on that front. So that was cool. And we got to chat a little bit there. But we thought it would be great to bring in, and we've done this before, bring in some of our institute students, this time just the ladies, to talk about really what God is doing in your lives right now and how God grows us through life experiences. And obviously the institute being a pivotal one for all of you. But all of you also said that you were familiar with Boundless prior to coming mm-hmm. to the institute, which is amazing. Thank you. Please spread the word. So anyway, that's cool. But I want to talk about what would you say, and I know I was joking with you guys beforehand, saying that when I was in high school, I just pretty much thought I had lived life and I knew everything. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go out there and be a blessing and just serve the Lord. But I pretty much, you know, have learned what I need to know. Whoa. Okay, so that was sketchy. But obviously have learned a ton since then. And I just want to, you know, have each of you touch base on kind of what would you say was your, heading into college especially, kind of your perspective on life and on all the things that Boundless specifically would address? Where'd you kind of land on a lot of stuff?
Well, I guess I went into college with some of the similar hopes and dreams and everything that I have today, too. But I think I had a lot of an expectation of how my life was going to go, and to study and to get a great job and be a teacher and get married. And like, I still have a lot of those hopes and dreams. But coming into college, I think some of my thoughts about how that would work were kind of shattered a little bit, even going to a Christian school. Just there's sometimes a conflict of a desire for marriage and then also being complete in Christ and knowing that He does supply all we need. But one thing I learned a lot in the past year, especially, and reading Boundless was a huge help in this, but just learning that my desire for marriage is a good thing that God gave me and that marriage was His design. And so I guess that one thing I have learned a lot in the past year is to actively live like that's a hope and desire that God gave me, and that I can embrace that, and knowing that He has a plan for it, even if it's not a timeline I might expect or want, but just knowing that I can trust Him completely with that area of my life.
Hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, I think coming into college, I had a lot of like ideas about relationships, and I was totally open to the idea of like ring by spring. I was like, I'm all for that. but then just like going through college and recognizing like healthier expectations, and similar to Lisa, like recognizing that a desire for marriage is good and God-given, but also recognizing that like that will come in His timetable, and like the whole having patience while I wait and things like that. And then also just recognizing like I wasn't sure what to expect at college, like am I going to have all these girlfriends that I'm going to meet and be really close to because we're going to live on the dorm together and things like that. And so it was really interesting to see how relationships developed, or even just little things in my program. Like I went into it thinking I wanted to teach kindergarten, and now I think I want to teach older kids, like just little things.
Okay. How about you, Heather?
For me, I guess it's kind of similar to both of the other girls with relationships, especially, and growing up in the church that I did and the family and the culture where I come from, that basically like my job as a woman is just to sit there and wait. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you do the role, the Proverbs 31 thing, and you just wait, and the guy's going to come along, and, you know, you wait and you wait and you wait and it doesn't come. And so just being intentional about things is definitely something that I've learned, and through college and relationships and being very clear in relationships and being intentional in those, and, you know, at times sitting down with a guy and saying, okay, look, what's going on here? Because if this is not where we're headed, then something needs to change. This needs to stop. And so that's something that I definitely picked up from Boundless that was great, that totally like walked me through that whole process. And I don't think I would have realized that without the help of reading the articles and listening to some of the Q&A on the show, things like that. So
yeah,
it was wonderful.
Totally. Now, I mean, we're totally in the process of, like, taking over the whole world, but Boundless hasn't quite yet. And so what do you guys feel? I mean, do you ever find yourself in circles of friends where you're kind of the odd girl out? Mm-hmm. Like, you're all of a sudden, like, talking about something and everyone is like, what? You know, like, you have some weird antiquated ideas or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think this whole idea of, like, intentionality and waiting, or even the fact that you can accept and embrace this desire for marriage is very controversial, or just not controversial so much as like it's very unexpected. Like a lot of people I felt like to tell you things like you need to be careful with that you're not making marriage an idol or things like that. And so Boundless very much has presented a very different idea of like, well, no, there's a healthy balance in wanting marriage and accepting that desire, and in recognizing that if we view marriage properly, it won't become this idol that we're just like fantasizing about and like playing marriage with the salt and pepper shaker at mm-hmm. restaurants while we wait.
Yeah, which, you know, maybe I do that once in a while.
Well, you got the black and the white, the bride and the groom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, walk them down the aisle. Yeah.
Exactly. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think I still get that in my circles of friends, you know, and they actually know that I host this show, and it's like I find myself having to be like, I definitely get, I think, pigeonholed into this role of, oh, well, Lisa, she has to say that because of Boundless, you know, and I'm like, no, really, my perspective on this has changed in recent years for sure. And I think I also get the, I don't know if y'all read the article or had friends who did on the, you know, women owning homes and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. now I bought my own home. And so that it seems like people that have read that article on Boundless, which I think has been vastly misinterpreted by a lot of people, what Candace was saying with that. But I'll have people that's their only experience with Boundless was reading that article. And then immediately they're just like, you know, it's just like crazy, especially women. They're just like crazy ladies, you know, and I'm like, whoa, you know, because I own my home and I, you know, Candace hasn't disowned me. So that's kind of interesting. But so what have been some of the, especially in your roles at school and kind of balancing school and your involvement in churches, and I'm sure you're doing like small groups and have friendships. How are you kind of balancing everything in your lives at this stage in life?
Well, for me, since my major has been Christian ministries, is kind of straightforward that you are involved in ministry while you're studying it. But I know that's just really a desire that God's given me, though, to serve in ministry. So I haven't had any internships until this semester in my college experience where I was actually an intern. But I, right off the bat, when I went to school, was trying to find a church to get plugged in into, because another thing about Christian school is people can say it can become a bubble, and to really try to make sure that you're outside that Christian bubble and involved in the greater Christian community. So trying to get involved in college groups and small groups. And I served in children's ministry, served in high school ministry, and just trying to just serve back with whatever God had given me and in whatever place I am at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, balance is something that I struggle with in my life. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to be involved with something, I want to be involved 100%. And I have some minor control issues, so I want to be involved and be the one in control of whatever it is, the program or ministry, and that's been great. And I've been able to start a junior high mentoring program, lead high school Bible studies, things like that, that I love, and I get to use my passion of working with people, working with adolescent girls. But at the same time, it's overwhelming because you're working with people. I'm a social work major. My job is to be out there, to be involved, to get to know people, pouring out. And I think the thing that I've learned, especially this semester at the Institute, it's been very intense, but I have to have something pouring into me if I'm going to keep pouring out. And that's being very intentional about quiet time with the Lord and just getting away. And maybe that means not hanging out, you know, every night, and just getting away by myself, having that time to renew. And that's something that I think I've taken for granted up until now, until I just was feeling so just dehydrated, like halfway through the semester. I was like, oh my word, what is going on here? And but it's amazing what that can do for you, just to sit back, to relax, to be still before the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I've definitely found that there's something to be said for being poured into. I've worked for 2 years as an RA on campus, and so that also was a ministry where I was pouring out. And so for me, it's been challenging at college because I had initially plugged into one church and then realized that they really weren't meeting my needs and pouring into me. And so there's a struggle there, and I had a hard time leaving because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just making it about me. And so for me, then it was going through this transition and like visiting churches and doing the whole church hopping thing where you're trying to find something. But recognizing that there does need to be that balance. And I think at a Christian college, there's also a challenge too in reminding yourself that like there's a Bible study every night, but you don't need to go every night. Mm-hmm. Like you do need to find those groups where you should go and get plugged in, but not all of them.
Yeah, that's good. What would each of you say is your, you know, college is a very unique kind of season in your life, and there's a lot of variety. There's a lot of changing schedules. There's a lot of changing friendships. As you look into the next season of life, which is maybe transitioning out of college and or graduate school and into, you know, what many people, I don't know, just unfavorably call the real world or whatever. What's your biggest expectation or your biggest hope, and then just your biggest fear about entering that season?
I think we're probably all on a bit of a similar page. I think for myself, I can say this, though, that my biggest hope is to one day to be married and to have a family. And so I just pray that'll be something God will provide, but I don't know his timeline. And so I guess a fear I have right now is that it won't be for a while, but I just try to remind myself that God's will for me is my best interest too. And it's not just more challenging to make it more challenging for me. He really desires what is best for me. So yeah, I hope for that so much, but really focusing on where I am at the moment and just trying to embrace each moment and know that his timeline is always best.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I definitely have a huge hope for marriage and a family at some point, although in the more immediate future, like I'm just hoping, like looking forward to a career and going into teaching, and I'm really excited about this very mobile phase of life that I'm in right now. Like I can move to different places or things like that. I mean, so I'm excited about looking forward to a job. There's definitely a lot of fear or nervousness and just the unknown of things like going through the application process or just the little things too that come with this next phase of figuring out where you're going to live and starting off, especially thinking about coming out of school and all of that. So there's definitely some anticipation, fear?
I, with the other girls, especially with Lisa, hope to get married someday, but just to be able to grow in the Lord. And that's something that I've been learning these last few weeks, is that no matter where I'm at and what I'm doing, if I am not being fulfilled, if I don't have that intimate relationship with Christ, like, it doesn't matter, because I can be married, but it's not going to be a healthy marriage. It's not going to be an enjoyable thing. And I'm just excited about the next few years. I have no idea where I'm going to be living, what I'm going to be doing, but I don't have to know. And it's kind of exciting to know that there is going to be something, and I'm just going to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and God's going to direct that. And I need to keep being active about those things, but doors are going to open and something's going to come about. And there's also something, I guess, that is fearful about that, because there's part of me that just wants to know. I want to have my 5-year, 10-year plan and know it's down the road and be in control of that. But there's something just so freeing and exciting about knowing that, you know what, God, he can see 5 years down the road and I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, three ladies from the Focus Leadership Institute, Sarah, Heather, and Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. Guys, I'm just saying, these ladies are available. So,
yes, we are.
You have to have a perk for coming on the show, because, you know, a lot of people can be scary, whatever. So I'm like, here it is. We're going to give you an infomercial right here, okay?
Oh,
I mean, we have got Sarah with a great laugh. We've got Heather sporting an awesome scarf with a very bold color, which I absolutely love. And that's Lisa, nice. Is just, like, so super cute. And quite frankly, I grew up in the Bay Area and my name is Lisa, and so that is just a connection that needs to be brought to light right there. So you three, all the best as you finish out this year and head home for Christmas. Very fun. And as you continue into that next phase, as we've just talked about, so make sure you stay in touch with us.
All right.
Write to us and we'll give folks updates as we go along. So
thank you for having us, Lisa.
Okay, everyone, we are back in the studio with Alyssa and Becca Leander, otherwise known as the Sunflowers. Those of you who listen to our show regularly know that we had them on a while back and kind of introduced you to them. And I'm just going to say we're going to take credit for it and say that we introduced our listeners to you guys, because that's just the way it is. So welcome, you two.
Yeah, hey. thank you so much for having us back.
It's good to be back.
But you're a little more warmly dressed this time around, because we're heading into winter.
It's cold outside.
Yeah, it is. It's true. I think this year has gone by way too fast.
It has. It's crazy. It's winter in Colorado. So, but that's a good time. It's a good time to be here in Colorado. We know it because Amy Grant said that. You know, like, wasn't that on Tennessee Christmas?
I know. Yeah. She said something like, she said she's not in Colorado, but at least she's
that's right. Oh, yeah,
Tennessee,
there's more snow in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, but then in the song, she just says she still likes Tennessee.
Mm. Okay, so I've contemplated writing a song about Colorado's Christmas and how it's better than every other Christmas.
I think you should. If you can get on that, that'd be great. We will push it here because I'm a big Colorado fan. That's awesome. So, well, it's so fun to have you guys back. And I know you have, the first thing we have to do, because you guys have, well, first of all, you have a new album out and it is a Christmas album and you will be hearing clips of it here, people. So get excited about that. But you're going to have to go and get the album because they also do a cover of There Is a Redeemer, which is by Keith Green. Melody Green, his wife, wrote it. I love that song and I love him. We just can't play the clip of it here because Melody would have had to give us permission and I need to just call her up and get it at some point. But so that's why you need to get the album. But in the meantime, you guys have been doing a ton of stuff. You traveled overseas. You've got other gigs going on. You're going to be traveling again even before Christmas now. So kind of catch us up from where you were last time.
Yeah, well, we've been traveling a lot. This past summer, we went to the UK. We did a lot of Christian music festivals around the country and then went to El Salvador. And kind of in between all that, we've decided to record a Christmas album and tried to fit that in somehow. So it was kind of a crazy summer. I think we were on the plane at one point five times in 2 weeks and just jumping around the East Coast. And, you know, as anyone knows, if they travel a lot, it can be a lot of exciting things that happen when you travel, and delays and all that good stuff. But we had a really good time this past year, and we're real blessed to be able to record again.
Yeah. Now, is it weird recording a Christmas album when it's not Christmas?
Yeah.
What do you have to do?
It, like, really
just
made
get into
us
a special place.
Yeah. We got a little Christmas tree out of the attic.
Oh,
you know, about
good.
3 feet tall, and put some dinky little ornaments on it, and brought it into the studio, and that really didn't inspire too much Christmas cheer when it was like 85 outside. But, you know, we really had to dig deep about the message of Christmas. You know, what does it really mean to us, even in the middle of May? And that really brought out the best, I think, for us.
Mm-hmm, yeah, because it's definitely at times a challenge, like, what's the purpose of recording a Christmas album? You know, a lot of people are doing that, and so you can kind of get on the bandwagon of doing that, but really what inspired us, at first we were like, no, we don't need to do that. But then we started really thinking about how, you know, people are just more open, I think, this time of year to the message of Jesus and who he is. They're kind of interested in who he is. And so it's kind of an opportunity for us to share, you know, really, you know, the fun side of Christmas, but also, you know, what's the point of Christmas and how Jesus came as a baby and what that means for us today.
Mm-hmm. So, have you found that, because you guys have been, you know, believers for a long time, and what is it kind of, you know, as you've lived through some Christmases recently, kind of how has that message impacted you in a way that you were able to kind of address it in a fresh new way this time around?
Yeah, well, it's just for me, just knowing Christ in a daily way and then thinking, you know, Christmas is more about realizing that God is with us no matter what we're going through, no matter our struggles, no matter our family situation. Because, you know, I think Christmas can be pretty hard time for a lot of people because it is about family and there's a lot of hurting families. And so, you know, coming home to a family that might be going through some tough times, you know, but Jesus being in the midst of that and just that being real. And not just, you know, a catchphrase that people use. That's really what Christmas boils down to for me. Hmm. And our album has a lot of worship theme to it. And I think that is something that really I love about Christmas carols, mm-hmm. is that a lot of them have this theme of worship. And I was talking to someone the other day, they just got saved a few years ago and said, you know, I'd been singing these songs my whole life and then I got saved and then I realized there's this song I've been singing my whole life. But now that I know the reality of the message behind the words, it's like, it caught her by surprise. She was just so amazed. Like, this song has so much depth, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's great.
That's amazing. What would you guys say, especially as you write music and as you're out, you know, whether leading worship or traveling, how kind of do you personalize the message for yourself? Like, how do you, or do you have to separate between, okay, now I'm kind of quote unquote doing a gig versus what in the world does this mean to me personally, mm-hmm. and how do I translate that into really my own relationship with Christ?
Yeah. I think just for me, going on the road and it's kind of like the days that I feel tired and worn out and that I'm really clinging to what
you know, what God's put in my heart. And I think sometimes, you know, on the road, it can be tough for artists and us maybe singing the same songs every night. We're blessed to be able to just kind of just do a lot of different variety of concerts and worship. And it doesn't get tiring to me. But, you know, really finding a place, even when I'm on stage, able to kind of almost kind of forget that I'm on stage and worship. Really, for me, that's my favorite part of it, is just being able to kind of step away and just kind of get with God, you know, even if I was in the back of the room or on the stage.
That's neat. What will Christmas look like for you two? And the album, by the way, I want to say the album is actually called Beautiful Miracle. You guys have a few original cuts on there, and then you referenced a couple classics that you have as well. I'm assuming, Alyssa, you wrote the songs, the other ones?
Yeah, Beautiful Miracle is actually the title track, and there's a story about behind that song. One Christmas Day, our family, we kind of have this tradition of going on a walk together. It's Colorado, so we get sun, you know, on Christmas Day a lot. And about half a mile from our house, we were walking, and we saw this girl just come out of her house and just barefoot in pajamas, carrying a suitcase, probably like 14 years old, maybe, wouldn't you say? And she was just, you know, walking down the sidewalk. Her mom came after her holding the phone, just saying, you know, come back. And just witnessing that, the drama and this the difficulty of that family on Christmas Day, it really impacted Becca and I, and in realizing, you know, what God has given us in our family and just not taking it for granted, but also just the reality of what people experience during Christmas and how we can, you know, as the body of Christ, be a light and be a strength to them, reach out to them. And that story I actually wrote about in the song, Beautiful Miracle.
I think that's interesting, because it's so difficult for us to get beyond, you know, sometimes just the commercialism of Christmas, and it's kind of this veneer, you know, that people going through very real struggles, you know, at this time there. And it's not like you just, a lot of people try to just kind of put them on a shelf for 3 or 4 weeks, you know, and get through Christmas and get through all their family issues and stuff. Yeah. But then January hits and all of a sudden, you know, we realize, wow, these things are still on our backs. And so I think that's a great way to process, you know, through song, a lot of what people may be feeling and the things that we struggle with and the things that we see kind of in our culture. So what, let's get back just to talking about your Christmas. What does that look like for you two?
Well, it's always been just sometimes the four of us in our family hanging out on Christmas Day. And my mom has relatives in England, and then we have some relatives kind of scattered. So we don't really spend a lot of Christmases with our relatives. But, you know, we just kind of find a way to slow down and stop and just enjoy the holidays. We have a few traditions. Some of them come from my mom's side of the family in England that we'll do that people think are kind of weird, but they're the English traditions that we enjoy. And so,
That's cool. We also listen to the Queen's Speech sometimes.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of fun. When we were little, it had to be on a little tiny radio, but now we have the internet, so it's not as hard to find her. But yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Wow. We have some Scandinavian traditions in our family, because that's my mom and dad are Norwegian and Swedish. And I would say all the ones that involve food are gross, because it's just, it's all kinds of pickled fish and stuff.
Oh,
and we have
to
like make it every year, but no one eats it. So it's just kind of like pointless. But some of the other things are really fun. And some of the more, you know, definitely the ones that are more scripturally based are cool as well. But okay, well, I'm going to ask you a couple of people that I've been interviewing recently, especially as we look now into next year. I want to talk to you guys about you know, what you have coming up, but also what's something that happened this year or something you experienced or whatever that that you definitely want to bring into next year? And then what's something that you definitely want to see different, or something you want to make a goal for next year, both, I mean, individually or as a band?
I think the first thing that came to my mind was Alyssa and I went to El Salvador a few weeks ago, and
with compassion.
It was,
we met our sponsor child, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was great. But just kind of thinking about after that trip, it was a short trip. We saw a lot. And then coming home, it was like, then we were all kind of processing all that we saw and just experienced there. And I know that experience has definitely changed my perspective, you know, really my whole life, and how I now see things and really see how God is working in countries like El Salvador and through the poverty, and seeing how much we really are blessed in the West and what we have. And so my hope really for 2010 is that that those memories and what I've learned won't leave me, that even though I kind of get comfortable again here, that I'll remember that, you know, there are, you know, believers in El Salvador that don't have much, but they have still have joy and hope. And that also as Christians, we're called to, you know, reach people that are in need. And so I think that's really, you know, for our ministry also just expanded, you know, our goals really is what we want to accomplish.
Oh, she just stole the best one. I went on the trip to El Salvador as well. And, you know, during Christmas here, I've been thinking about, you know, what Christmas is going to be like for those kids that we met. And, you know, their houses are, you know, dirt floors and maybe no doors, no running water, sheet metal for the roof. And when the rains come, it's like a torrent and a flood. And actually, they recently just had huge floodings with the hurricane. And so just thinking, what is Christmas going to be like for them? And really, it just strips down my mentality of just materialism and having things and, you know, what am I going to get for Christmas? It just strips all that away and makes life a lot more simple. And I want to carry that into the next year as well, just being able to see life as pursuing God and, you know, getting closer to God and reaching out to people and it being that simple. And if I do that each day, if I love people well and love God well, then I've accomplished what I need to for that day. So that just really takes life to a really great place for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you guys can do that with all of your touring, with everything else you have going on, then we at Boundless can do that as well. And so I think we need to challenge each other to do that, to, you know, refocus, to think about that, and to really see, you know, what is it, what does it look like when we strip down the gospel to its essentials and say, you know, the Lord is going to return. I mean, it's going to be soon. He says it is. And so what does it really look like to love God and to love people in a way that reflects him? And certainly Christmas is a great time to do that. So, well, the album, again, is Beautiful Miracle. Make sure you check it out. I've already loaded up my entire car with all my Christmas music, so now I have to add this to the rotation.
Done.
So, yeah, I usually don't get going this early, but I've got a very, just a hodgepodge of Christmas tunes. So definitely we'll work that into it. So, and I think we're going to maybe give away a few copies of the CD as well. So you guys are on doing all the social networking. Follow them
of course.
Twitter, you guys, Sunflowers. In fact, I tweeted about the interview today.
Awesome.
So very fun. And then the website as well, sunflowers.com.
Yeah.
And that's S-O-N, flowers with a Z. Okay. If you can't figure that out, people just email
us. If you can't spell, you're going to do better.
yeah, exactly.
If you spell it wrong naturally, perfect.
If you search more than 15 minutes and you still can't find them, email us at editor@boundless.org and we will help you. That's just us in the Christmas spirit. We're trying to be helpful now. So that is awesome. It's so great that you guys are local and that you can pop in and that we can kind of connect with you guys. So make sure that you do keep us posted with what's happening in the coming year. Let us know how the album's doing and all of that and any upcoming trips that you have with Compassion, because we want to make sure we highlight them as well. So thanks.
Thank you.
I watch the snow fall outside my window. I'm thinking of that lowly manger all those years ago. The world was burdened by darkness and strife, till the hope of heaven came that wondrous night. All history changed when the dark rolled away. We'll be right back.
are opening up today's inbox, and I have Candace on the phone. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
I'm just back from Christmas shopping at the Focus Bookstore.
Oh, well, that is the place to do it.
It is. Know? There's a ton of good gifts over there.
That is. That's great. So I think we should just tell everyone, wherever you are, come to the Focus Bookstore this Christmas season and do all your shopping.
I just have two words. Screw tape.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that one word?
I think so.
Okay. So we'll get Candace hooked on phonics, and the rest of you can get screw tape from us. Order it awesome. At focusonthefamily.com. That is awesome. Okay, well, we're going to answer a question for Sherry here.
Okay, bring it on.
Okay, she says, this is good to know. I'm glad to see that people are in their churches getting things done. Because she says, I've been getting to know a guy as a friend, but have been conversing with some of my sisters in the church about this crush that I have on him. A couple of them brought up a point that I need to be careful and protect my heart because I do not even know him. So far, I would eventually say yes if you did pursue a relationship with me, but how long and how well do you believe you should know a person before you start to date them? Also, what sorts of things should someone be looking for during friendship with a person to determine if they're the kind of person that might make a good spouse? And lastly, is it wrong, shallow, or unwise that I was attracted to him as quickly as I was?
Okay. I may have to have you remind me of these parts. These multi-part questions are a challenge for me. I'm not taking notes. But I will say that the last part first, people have, you know, that sort of flash-in-the-moment responses to people all the time. I don't think that's atypical. So you have an immediate chemical reaction or an attraction to someone. That's very normal. But you don't go on that. Then you say, okay, well, I have to get to know this person because maybe they're just really cute. Mm-hmm. So that's where the intentionality comes in. And this is where I say there's not a magical amount of time that you need to know someone before you know them well enough to start dating them. If you're being intentional, you could know after one or two conversations if someone has the potential to be a good spouse. So make the most of your interactions. Make the most of your getting to know someone friendship time. Ask questions that reveal who they are, that reveal their character. Don't just waste the time being purely entertainment-oriented or recreational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what specifically then, like her asking here, what would you say should she be looking for as she has conversations with this guy to determine if he has a potential?
Well, does he have a job? Does he make, you know, his rent payments on time?
And ladies, don't underestimate that, okay? Let's be honest.
I know. I'm talking to you, Lisa.
Oh, I know.
Is he still living with his parents? No, but seriously, is he a member of the church? Is he a member in good standing? Is he involved? Does he have relationships with other believers? You know, what are his favorite movies, music? Does he read books? If so, what does he read? If he doesn't read books, why not? I mean, ask about, you know, his family background. Does he have siblings? Where does he fall in the family? What are his aspirations? What are his goals? I mean, you can ask a man about these things in conversation, and most men really like to be asked about themselves and to have a woman be interested in what they're thinking and what their hopes are for the future. And so I think it's important just to be very intentional about your interactions and let those conversations be deeper than maybe the typical conversation.
Yeah. And I think it's even true. I mean, to establish that, you know, hey, this is a date even on the front end, because otherwise you have the danger of getting into that weird friends quagmire.
Right,
I mean,
right.
There's no difference from being set up with someone that you mutually respect, you know, who says, hey, I think you two would be a good fit. You can sit down across from them at a table and find out a lot about them.
Well, and what's up with these sisters in the church who are just asking the hard questions? They have a role to play, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ask those women, well, what do you think of him? And if they say, well, we don't know him from Adam, say, well, could you help me find out? You know, could you ask around? I mean, does he go to the church? If not, invite him to a church event. Enlist these women to help you. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, and maybe wrongly so, that these are older married women. Maybe they're just peers and, you know, she doesn't want to share, right?
Yeah.
But if they are like her mentors, say, could you help me vet this guy and find out if he is a good candidate?
Yeah.
And then I have to come back to that protect the heart phrase, because this phrase keeps popping up in conversations. And I hear it most often when a man and woman are in a relationship that should be called dating, but someone is not wanting to call it that. And so they're saying, well, I want to protect your heart, so I'm not going to call it dating. When all along, we know exactly what they're doing is dating. And I think we need to stop saying I'm protecting my heart and saying my heart is out there, it's exposed, and I'm hoping like crazy that this goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. So don't blow it. Whether it's you saying that and being honest about what's happening in your heart and saying, no, I'm out there. My heart really is in this. And I'm hoping like crazy this will become a relationship. rather than pretending that by saying you're protecting your heart, that you're somehow, you know, locking it up in a lockbox or something. That's just not possible. So hope, but then be intentional about it, and don't let it drag on into this nebulous just friend zone where you really do stand to be hurt deeply.
Right. Yeah, I think where it goes wrong is either when the woman basically starts establishing a relationship when there isn't one there, and all of a sudden we have the, you know, naming of the kids and the writing her name with his and all this stuff, and it's like, there is nothing objectively that looks like a relationship in this entire thing. Or you have the guy's end of it where all of a sudden they are dating and they are going out and blah, 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 and then he pulls the whole, you know what, we're just friends, you know,
right.
And this girl put herself out there. I'm like,
right.
Mm-mm. So.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. So that is some good insight, Candace, and I think that will be helpful for many people who find themselves in this quagmire. I mean, literally, people, if you are over the age of 20, you need to get out there and just start dating these guys. I mean, guys.
These guys people. Need to start asking the women out on dates.
Exactly.
Make it official.
Exactly. Sit down across the table from one another over dinner where, guys, you are paying, and get to know this girl, okay? Do not, you know, wallow in some kind of weirdness until, you know, you're 45 and then you have to write to us and say, hey, what did I do wrong? So.
Exactly.
Oh, because who knows? I mean, you know, I mean, I'll probably still be single by then, but Candace is going to be off doing who knows what. So
helping people get married, Lisa. That's what
there
I'm going to be doing.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, that's good. Thank you so much, Candace, for joining us.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Lisa.
It is always a pleasure. It is. And we are looking forward to actually, some of you may be hearing this while we have already had our Boundless Christmas party, which every year is awesome. And we're going to try to maybe get some video or audio from that to share with you guys. You can vicariously be there with us. So
yes, we want you all to be there in spirit.
Exactly.
The house isn't big enough for you all to really be there, but
exactly. So
we will post you with our non-alcoholic waffle on Friday.
Absolutely. So that's in our semi-professional dress now that Focus has somewhat relaxed its code a little bit. So. Well, that is great. That is it for this week's show. As always, we want to hear from you. Write to us at editor@boundless.org. And let me be honest, y'all better be sending those Christmas cards already. I'm just saying, because I look forward to those. So send them to the team here at Focus on the Family, 8065 Explorer Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80920. Woohoo! So anyway, that said, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Look forward to next week. We have more guests coming up for you heading into the Christmas season. Make sure you wish people a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And talk to them about Jesus, y'all, because he is the reason for the season. So that's it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.